Latest Israeli attacks targeted a house in Al-Janaina area in Rafah in southern Gaza, leaving several dead. Many people also lost their lives and were injured when a house was targeted by Israeli forces in the Al-Bridj camp in the center of the Gaza Strip. Israel has also been continuing its attacks on the eastern areas of Khan Yunis in southern Gaza. Continuous explosions are also heard in the northern areas of Gaza as well. The death toll in the besieged territory since October 7 is now around 16,000. Most of the victims are women and children. The Gaza Health Ministry says Israeli forces have deliberately targeted 130 health facilities and have put 20 hospitals out of service. The Al-Qassam Brigades keeps up fighting invading Israeli forces in Gaza and launching retaliatory attacks against Israeli targets deep inside the occupied territories. In the latest attacks, Qassam fired a barrage of missiles at Tel Aviv, Ashkelon, and several other cities in response to the massacre of Palestinians in Gaza. The group also attacked Israeli troops, tanks, and military vehicles in various parts of northern Gaza. The Qassam Brigades hit several gatherings of Israeli soldiers using the short-range Rajum missile system. Resistance forces also targeted an Israeli command center inside of a building east of Beit Hanun with four anti-personnel shells. The regime's army says it has lost 75 soldiers since launching a ground invasion in Gaza. However, resistance groups say that Israel is concealing the real number of its casualties. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas says it is not going to exchange any more captives with Israel unless there is a permanent ceasefire. The deputy Hamas chief, Saleh al-Aruri, said that Hamas has already released all women and children, as well as foreign prisoners. He noted that foreign prisoners, women and children, were never targets of resistance fighters, but they were brought to Gaza under exceptional circumstances. Aruri said the resistance is now only holding Israeli soldiers and civilian men who serve in the occupation army. He said there will be no negotiations for the exchange of these prisoners until the end of the aggression. The head of the International Committee of the Red Cross has warned of a dire situation in the Gaza Strip, saying that a lack of essential supplies is very concerning.
Everything in Gaza is at a breaking point. Civilians are displaced. Numbers of injured people, severely injured people who are waiting for treatment in hospitals that also are reaching a breaking point where nurses and doctors have been working 24/7 with very limited resources. So, of course, we're doing everything we can to support the provision of healthcare. People are living in constant fear of violent death. People are struggling to survive with now, again, little food and water because of the resumption of the fighting. And in all likelihood, having aid getting inside Gaza will become automatically more challenging. So, of course, it's a matter of grave concern to us. Well, we don't have precise reports, but what I can say is the resumption of fighting was intense again, and of course it's a new layer of destruction coming on top of massive and unparalleled.
Political commentator Yves Zengler says the Israeli regime seeks to drive out Palestinians from their land.
This is a form of genocide. Israeli officials are very clear that they want to drive out Palestinians. They're trying to ethnically cleanse. This has nothing to do with October 7th anymore. This has to do with the fact that the Zionist government wants to take over more land and drive out more Palestinians. And that's been what the Zionist movement has been doing for 75 years. Obviously, at each stage, it's a little bit different how it works out. In this case, what we're seeing is the worst level of slaughter in that history. But we are seeing the continuation of this long-standing policy of trying to get rid of Palestinians and take their land. It's pretty straightforward. And so anyone who doesn't just state it as it is participating in this charade that says this is about what happened on October 7th, that this is about, you know, response, that this is a war between Hamas and Israel. I mean, this is complete absurdity.
Hezbollah resistance movement hits Israeli military targets, retaliation for strikes on southern Lebanon. In a statement, the group said that it targeted the headquarters of the Israeli Army's 91st Division in Beranit, as well as Jal al-Alam military base. Hezbollah fighters also struck a gathering of Israeli soldiers with missiles. Hezbollah says the attacks are in response to the regime's Friday bombing of southern Lebanon that led to the death of two civilians. Since October 7, bakeries across the Gaza Strip have been one of the targets of Israeli airstrikes. Dozens of bakeries have been either bombed or have gone out of service due to lack of fuel. As the total siege imposed by Israel on the already blockaded territory continues, food is running out, and bread is becoming more difficult to get with each passing day. Now, several residents in Gaza City have constructed a makeshift bakery from iron sheets and firewood to make bread.
We were compelled to come here as there are no bakeries available. The people here who are our friends are baking bread to aid the community. Procuring flour is challenging for us, as a 20-kilogram bag costs around 300 to 400 shekels, which is a substantial amount. The people are suffering, as you can see.
In response to the catastrophic situation in the Gaza Strip, particularly in the northern region, we thought of a way to serve our community. We crafted this handmade with iron sheets to provide bread for people and their children to help them survive and fulfill their needs after all basic necessities were cut off. We first offered the service to the people in return for a symbolic amount which helps cover the cost of the firewood we collect. However, our efforts and manpower are solely dedicated for the sake of God and our community. We are people. We are human and humane. We urge the international community to pay attention to our bereaved people who have sacrificed more victims and martyrs in the pursuit of freedom. We call on them not to apply double standards, but to grant Palestinians their right to a normal life. We seek attention for our cause, so that Palestinian children can smile like children everywhere else in the world, rather than being slaughtered unlike any other place in the world.
The corporate support for Israel is growing increasingly costly for Western companies as the boycott campaign spreads globally. The American coffee chain Starbucks and Swedish clothing brand H&M have been forced to cease operations in Morocco from mid-December. The decision came after the two companies saw a major decline in customers due to the boycott move. The campaign has already targeted many other Western companies due to financial ties with Israel or their pro-Israel stances. Several branches of companies like McDonald's, KFC, Coca-Cola are now grappling with the impact of the campaign in many countries. The campaign is fast spreading in the countries, mostly in the Arab world, where anti-Israel sentiments have traditionally been strong. Pro-Palestinian rallies continue across the world to demand an end to Israel's brutal aggression against the besieged Gaza Strip.
It's important to be here today and to continue because it is not over. And the humanitarian pause was nothing. It was a joke. It was feeding people to bomb them. I mean, it's insane that it continues. And Israel has come out and said they were going to keep bombing for at least two more months. It's not okay. And we are here to say we are not going to let this happen, not under our watch.
In Paris, protesters waved Palestinian flags and chanted, "We are all Palestinians," as they call for a ceasefire in Gaza. The demonstrators expressed support for the Palestinian resistance. They also demanded that the Israeli regime be brought to justice for its crimes against innocent people of Gaza. In Spain's capital, Madrid, protesters marched through the streets to call on the government to cut its relations with the Israeli regime. The ralliers demanded an immediate halt to what they called the Israeli genocide in Gaza. In Germany, people gathered in the streets of Gesundbrunnen to show solidarity with the Palestinians. A similar pro-Palestine rally was held in New Zealand.
Killing children is a crime. Yeah, definitely. There's events worldwide happening right now, protests all around the world, USA, Canada, Australia, all the worlds in the Arab region have also been protesting. Everyone wants a permanent ceasefire in Gaza, and we want a free Palestine as well.
In Auckland, protesters called on the UN to take action and stop the Israeli aggression. They said a permanent ceasefire is of utmost importance in Gaza. Around 30 similar events were held across New Zealand. In the U.S., protesters gathered outside of the White House to express solidarity with Palestinians. They called for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza.
With the participation of Palestinian Scout associations and children under 16 years old, Palestinian resistance factions organized a rally this Saturday in front of the UNICEF headquarters in Damascus to show solidarity with the children in Gaza. This after the representatives of international organization refused to accept the children's letter, pushing them to publicize their message instead.
The Israeli army deliberately bombed hospitals, including Al-Ahli, Ashifa, Al-Quds, and the Indonesian. All the hospitals were put out of service because of the Israeli and American warplanes that kill and mutilate bodies.
We demand UNICEF to fulfill its responsibilities in helping protect civilian infrastructure, such as schools, hospitals, and water stations, and to ensure the provision of basic medical and food supplies for Gaza's children.
The children staged a performance on the massacres committed by the Israeli regime against kids in Palestine. They also chanted slogans and carried banners condemning war crimes committed against children and demanded the removal of the blockade imposed on Gaza.
Palestinian children amidst the rubble remain steadfast in the path of resistance. We will not surrender and will only bow before God. The Palestinian child fully understands that resistance is the only and optimal choice for the liberation of Palestine.
We are here to support the children of Gaza, and we call on the United Nations to support them, provide milk to them, and to help us stop attacks on hospitals and schools as they are safe zones for children.
The children affirmed that future generations will increasingly embrace resistance as the sole path to reclaim their occupied lands and to restore their legitimate rights, especially after they have witnessed the total failure of the international community to stop the bloodshed in Gaza.
Every child in the world must have access to medical care, clean water, healthy food, and a safe environment. But the children of Gaza don't even know if they will live to see another day. Yet, with innocence and resilience, they resist the Israeli tyranny. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Dubbed Earth and Freedom, the latest demonstration in support of the people of Gaza was staged in Rome's northern suburb of Monte Sacro on Friday. The initiative, organized by a string of groups including the Student Collective for Palestine, the anti-Zionist movement in solidarity with the Palestinian people, and some housing movements, took place as Israel resumed air raids in Gaza after a seven-day pause in fighting.
Students from across Italy have been rallying in support of Palestinians because they are aware of the ongoing genocide in Gaza, the largest open-air concentration camp in the world. Meanwhile, the whole of the international community stays silent.
As bombardments have resumed in Gaza, we are trying to organize as many initiatives as possible in support of the Palestinians. Today, we are also calling on Carrefour to end its complicity in Israel's slaughtering of Gazans.
Also on Friday, the Boycott, Divestment and Sanctions movement launched the Boycott Carrefour campaign, calling on supporters of Palestinian rights in Italy to boycott the international supermarket chain Carrefour. The multinational retailer has been often accused of supporting Israel's illegal settlement activities in the West Bank, and it has been described by some activists as, quote, a genocide facilitator.
The West must stop the Zionists if it really intends to help the Jews. Only a Zionist sick mind can call Palestinians human animals, a language which incites genocidal actions. It's time to drop the policy of controlled chaos in the Middle East.
The war has killed more than 15,500 Palestinians so far, including at least 6,150 children. Due to Israeli bombardment, about 60% of homes in Gaza have been destroyed, while at least 50,000 families are now homeless.
Hundreds of demonstrations have taken place in solidarity with Palestinians in Italy since October 7, and more will be held in upcoming days in different Italian cities, including Turin, Genoa, and Oristano. Max Civili, Rome.
And with that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. It's bye-bye for now.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود غده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم
All of us are opposed to the cancerous tumor Israel
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The issue of Palestine is the first issue of the world of Islam by Ayatollah Khamenei. The path to liberating Palestine is nothing but resistance. February 27th, 2010. The path of Quds, the path of Palestine, and the path of resolving the issue of Palestine is the path of fighting. As was pointed out by the gentlemen in this meeting, there is no other path for Palestine. I am happy to see that all of you agree with and believe in this issue. Those people who do not accept this path, whether knowingly or unknowingly, are delivering a blow to the issue of Palestine. If they are doing this knowingly, then this is called treachery. If they are doing it unknowingly, then this is called ignorance and negligence. In any case, it is a blow to the issue of Palestine. Such people are delivering a blow to the issue of Palestine. Palestine has no way other than resistance. The people of Palestine should say and want this, and Islamic governments should echo it. Of course, many Arab governments dismally failed their test on the issue of Gaza and other issues before that. They failed dismally. Whenever there was a talk about the issue of Palestine, they said, the issue of Palestine is the issue of Arabs. But when it was time for action, the issue of Palestine was completely removed from their equations. Instead of helping Palestine and the Palestinians, instead of helping their Arab brothers, and instead of being committed to their Arabic principles, even if they do not believe in Islam, all of them left the arena. They failed dismally, and these things will be recorded in history. The negative consequences of this action are not particular to the afterlife. Rather, they will witness the consequences in this world as well, as God's assistance to you who are fighting is not particular to the afterlife.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
The issue of Palestine is an issue to be concerned of by all Muslims. February 27, 2010. The issue of Gaza and Palestine is our issue. It is our Islamic issue. It is the issue of all Muslims, and it is our responsibility. What we are doing is our responsibility, and we do not ask anyone to thank us for this. We have carried out our responsibility, and we ask Allah the Exalted to help us continue carrying out our responsibilities.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope. Oh, Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done.
Wildfires in Greece, Turkey, the United States.
Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails continue to engage in hunger strikes.
Kim Yo-jong, the powerful sister of North Korean leader.
On the news line.
Weeks of relentless Israeli onslaught on the Gaza Strip has raised concerns about the health situation there. The World Health Organization has warned that more people could die from diseases than from bombings in the Gaza Strip if the health and sanitation systems are not repaired.
Actually, we will see more people dying from disease than we're even seeing from the bombardment if we are not able to put back this health system and provide the basics of life, food, water, medicines, and of course fuel to operate the hospitals.
Critical infrastructure in the besieged territory has been crippled by fuel and supply shortages and targeted attacks on hospitals and the UN facilities since Israel launched strikes on Gaza on October the 7th. All key sanitation services have ceased operating in Gaza, which raises the prospect of an enormous surge of gastrointestinal and infectious diseases among the local populations, including cholera. For Gaza's 2.3 million residents, half of whom are children, finding drinkable water has become close to impossible. The WHO has recorded more than 44,000 cases of diarrhea and 70,000 acute respiratory infections, but real numbers may be significantly higher. Diarrhea increased by 45 times compared with the same period last year, and other diseases from respiratory infections to hygiene issues such as lice have risen. Almost three-quarters of hospitals in Gaza and two-thirds of primary health care clinics have shut down because of damage from hostilities or lack of fuel.
No medicines, no vaccination activities, no access to safe water and hygiene, and no food. We saw a very high number of cases of diarrhea among infants. And again, there was no treatment available for them. You know, if you have a child with diarrhea, you need to give them rehydration in order to keep them.
The health needs of the population of Gaza have increased dramatically, but they are now being serviced by one-third of the hospitals and primary care clinics. And with severe overcrowding, the risks are increasing for epidemics of respiratory tract infections, acute watery diarrhea, hepatitis, scabies, lice, and other diseases.
Health facilities in the Gaza Strip have borne the brunt of Israel's brutal war. Officials have described the situation in northern Gaza as catastrophic amid a lack of medicine and fuel.
The
The situation is very difficult. The patients, the injured and the martyrs are lying on the ground. The medical staff is not enough and there are no treatments. My brother is injured and his condition is very difficult. We wait all day for treatments and medications. There are no medicines and medical equipment.
They say hospital beds are completely full and wounded people are lying on the ground. Experts now warn the humanitarian crisis would deepen fast if Israel started bombing Gaza again, because people have been so weakened by almost 2 months of attacks. UN officials have warned that alleviating the crisis requires the urgent entry of additional aid and supplies in a smooth, predictable, and continuous manner to lessen the unbearable suffering of Palestinians in Gaza. Despite the temporary truce agreements between Israel and Hamas, officials in Gaza say no fuel had arrived for generators at hospitals in the territory's north. They say that without fuel, the territory could not pump clean water or clear waste accumulating in the streets, warning of a potential public health catastrophe.
Pursuant to the health status in the northern Gaza Strip, only three hospitals are still operating, but they cannot cover the health requirements inside the Gaza Strip, as these hospitals are small and there are 900,000 people left. In addition, the health situation in the northern Gaza Strip is currently desperate because of the inaccessibility of medical aid and fuel to the hospitals in the north.
United Nations Children's Funds is also working on creating safe places for children, but it needs a longer break in fighting to heal.
Threats to children are very much from the air and now very much on the ground. He was terrified as a medical professional in terms of the disease outbreak that is lurking here and how that will devastate children who are immune systems and lack of food already is making them perilously weak. Again, anecdotally, as a non-medical professional, when I'm in hospitals, it's children with wounds of war and it's children with gastro and who are sick everywhere. And I meet a lot of parents who are medical professionals or at least have master's degrees. They know exactly what their children need. They don't have access.
Meanwhile, UN reports that Israeli bombardments have destroyed or damaged 60% of homes in the besieged territory. It's said in Gaza City and North Gaza specifically, intense bombing has resulted in damage to over 50% of all buildings. The report said the strikes have also caused widespread damage to roads and essential infrastructure, such as power systems and distribution networks and water supply equipment.
Henry Kissinger, influential American politician and career diplomat, has died at the age of 100. Kissinger served as both National Security Advisor and Secretary of State under President Richard Nixon and continued as Secretary of State under Nixon's successor, Gerald Ford. However, he left a dark legacy ranging from supporting dictators and terror squads to directing coups and ordering war crimes. Kissinger is known for his role in carpet bombing of Cambodia during the Vietnam War, which caused the death of 150,000 civilians in a neutral country. The indiscriminate bombing campaign was expressed in Kissinger's infamous order to an American general when he said, quote, anything that flies and anything that moves. The civilian death toll in Cambodia was more than those killed in U.S.-led wars against several West Asian countries over the past two decades. Kissinger's genocidal campaign also enabled the rise of Cambodia's Khmer Rouge dictatorship. Yet, ironically enough, Kissinger was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize for ending a war which he had blood on his hands. Kissinger was also involved in a CIA-hatched coup against Chile's socialist leader, Salvador Allende, in 1973. The coup was followed by a regional campaign of political repression and assassination in South America, dubbed Operation Condor. That resulted in the killing of 50,000 people, as well as disappearance and imprisonment of nearly 500,000 people in several South American countries under U.S. ally dictatorships. Kissinger also supported former West Pakistan dictator Yahya Khan, whose army carried out a massive genocidal campaign against Bengali-speaking people in East Pakistan that led to the 1971 war and finally the creation of Bangladesh. Kissinger's other infamous moves include his support for Indonesian leader Suharto, who invaded East Timor in 1975. Tens of thousands of Timorese people were killed in two decades of occupation initiated by Suharto. Kissinger also presided over a writing of a secret national security memo in 1974 recommending the U.S. government to force depopulation on third world countries to weaken their national power, ensure America's access to their resources, and prevent young population rising against U.S. imperialist control. After leaving government in 1977, Kissinger remained a prominent voice in foreign policy circles for decades. Even into his late 90s, he continued attending global events, consulting business clients, and privately advising American presidents. He has been lauded for his incredibly sharp memory and unique analytic powers, but his bloody record is a testimony that superior human intelligence combined with inferior moral sensitivities can be a source of incredible evil rather than good.
On the release of Palestinian captives, Israel said no celebrations or they will be arrested again, showing Israel's dehumanizing behavior. Palestinians celebrated anyways. When it comes to Israel's genocidal war on Gaza, Israel has failed. To begin with, it lost the war from day one, when Operation Al-Aqsa Flood was executed by Hamas resistance fighters. The truce is another sign of Israel's failure, since it was not able to defeat one of its stated goals, the destruction of Hamas. According to senior Hamas official Osama Hamdan, Israel has also suffered a military defeat. Since October 7th, between 70 to 80 Israeli soldiers have been taken out by Hamas fighters, while 385 tanks have been destroyed. But another front that Israel has suffered a defeat, a humiliating one at that,
do not look away,
is the social media war. Not only has Israel lost the information war, Western media, no matter how hard they have tried, could not silence pro-Palestinian voices. Social media networks have also tried in vain to block and delete anti-Israeli posts, which they called anti-Semitic, like Facebook. Facebook approved ads that contained sentences like murder Palestinian civilians, wipe out Gazan women, children, and the elderly. The U.S. has played a dubious role when it comes to its stance on the Israeli war in Gaza. On the one hand, the U.S. Secretary of State Blinken is said to want to press Israel to end the war in his upcoming trip to the region. This is while the U.S. President will move to grant Israel unfettered access to U.S. weapons stockpile. The U.S. President has also said eliminating Hamas is very difficult, but not impossible, which is part of the reason why pro-Palestinian protests have continued unabated around the world, since many see the U.S. key in ending the war. Many celebrities have come out in support of Palestine and against U.S. unwavering support for Israel, especially when it comes to military aid. U.S. actress and activist Cynthia Nixon has launched a hunger strike, calling for a permanent ceasefire in Gaza in front of the White House in Washington, D.C., an unprecedented move by a Hollywood actress.
To have a hunger strike to get attention, but also to say, yes, we are bombing and killing Palestinians in that way, but we're also starving them. 7% of the nutrition that's needed for a population of 2 million people has been allowed into Gaza. And so certainly many people are dying from bombs, but so many people in Gaza are on the hunger, on the precipice of starvation. And so that's why we're having a hunger strike to reflect the horror of that.
She was joined by state legislators and activists also.
I think about how much anxiety and depression and fear and all those emotions that Gazans are feeling every day.
We have lost an entire society. Cities have been flattened. And if President Biden does not demand a permanent ceasefire, all of Gaza could be lost.
Israel is so afraid of the backlash. The Israeli lobby has offered $20 million to a candidate of Arab origin to compete with U.S. Senator Rashida Tlaib in the Michigan elections.
I was offered $20 million
to withdraw from the senatorial race and run against my friend Rashida Tlaib.
As if that wasn't enough, the Israeli lobby is so worried about U.S. Congress dissent due to the war that it was reported it spent big money trying to purge its critics from the Democratic Party.
The pro-Israel lobby will go to any length to remove anybody from the U.S. Congress that has any opposition to their agenda, and their total unequivocal support for Israel, good, bad, or indifferent.
Israel persecutes Palestinians by malign detainment practices. There are currently about 8,000 Palestinians in Israeli jails, including 3,000 detained over the past 7 weeks, since the events of October 7th. Over 2,000 of the detainees are being held under administrative detention. Those legally charged are judged by Israeli military courts with a near total conviction rate. There are hundreds of children among the detainees. At least 700 Palestinian children under 18 are prosecuted every year by Israel. Administrative detention refers to detention without charge or trial. The practice is illegal under international law. Under the prisoners exchange deal between Israel and Hamas, several dozen Palestinian prisoners, mostly women and children, will be released. Two of the prominent released prisoners are Marah Bakir, a 24-year-old girl who was released after 8 years in prison. She was brutally injured and detained by the Israeli police in 2015 when she was 16 years old. During her detention, she was abused and humiliated by Israeli security staff. Malek Soleiman, another 24-year-old girl, released after 8 years in prison. She was kidnapped as a 16-year-old by the Israeli police on her way back from school.
Comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
In the name of Allah, Salam. So welcome, this is another episode of Lantern. So we have a new story and a lot to hear about that and of course learn about that. On the continuation of this program Lantern, we have a new story to listen to. The title of our story is Life After Birth. This is the title of today's story. In a mother's womb were two babies. One asked the other, "Do you believe in life after delivery?" The other replied, "Why, of course. There has to be something after delivery. Maybe we are here to prepare ourselves for what we will be later." "Nonsense," said the first. "There is no life after delivery. What kind of love would that be?" The second said, "I don't know, but there will be more light than here. Maybe we will walk with our legs and eat from our mouth. Maybe we will have other senses that we can't understand now." The first replied, "That's absurd. Walking is impossible, and eating with our mouth? Ridiculous. The umbilical cord supplies nutrition and everything we need, but the umbilical cord is so short. Life after delivery is to be logically excluded," the second insisted.
Well, I think there is something, and maybe it's difficult than it is here. Maybe we won't need this physical court anymore. The first replied, nonsense. And moreover, if there is life, then why has no one ever come back from there? Delivery is the end of life, and in the after delivery, there is nothing but darkness and silence and oblivion. It takes us nowhere. Well, I don't know, said the second, but certainly we will meet mother and she will take care of us. The first replied, mother? You actually believe in mother? That's laughable. If mother exists, then where is she now? The second said, she's all around us. We're all surrounded by her. We all love her. It is in her that we live. Without her, this world would not and could not exist, said the first. Well, I don't see her, so it's only logically that she doesn't exist, to which the second replied. Sometimes when you're in silence and you focus and listen, you can perceive her presence and you can hear her loving voice calling down from above. Perhaps this was one of the best explanations for the concept of God, the only God, Allah.
Seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear listeners, welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRIB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and this program is about different moral lessons that we read in the beautiful stories that we listen. And, you know, the purpose of this program is to talk about these lessons and, you know, expound them in order for us to make use of them in our daily life. Okay, the story we just listened to might be representative of one of the most common situations that all of us have experienced. You know, confronting with people who deny the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his purposeful creation. Expressions of the sensus divinitatis have appeared in cultures and religions all over the world, despite them being widely separated by time, geography, and language. In Islamic spiritual terms, this is because God took primordial covenant with every person before the world was created that they would recognize their creator. You know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his holy book says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, وَإِذْ أَخَذَ رَبُّكَ مِنْ بَنِي آدَمَ مِنْ ظُهُورِهِمْ ذُرِّيَّتَهُمْ وَأَشْهَدَهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ قَالُوا بَلَىٰ شَهِدْنَا أَن تَقُولُوا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ إِنَّا كُنَّا عَنْ هَذَا غَافِلِينَ Prophet, when your Lord took out the offspring from the lions of the children of Adam and made them bear witness about themselves, he said, Am I not your Lord? And they replied, Yes, we bear witness. So you cannot say on the day of resurrection, we were not aware of this. Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 172. So the interpretation of this verse signifies that the primordial covenant results in the innate impulse within people to seek out the higher power that they can sense. Okay, now let's go for a short break and soon we will be back.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspect of our life.
Well, we are talking about some justifications that we can bring to the unbelievers about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We talked about the instinct that requires Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a praiseworthy power above all.
And the second justification could be the existence of peace and contentment. You know, the light of the knowledge of God is found in the guidance, spiritual direction, and the sense of peace that believers attain by practicing Islam. It can fill the spiritual void in all of us. The greatest proof for the existence and lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then is discovered in the visceral experiences of the heart through which the believers find comfort, inner peace, moral education, and meaning in life, the spiritual fruits of true religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون من عمل صالح من ذكر أو أنثى وهو مؤمن فلنحيينه حياة طيبة. To whoever, male or female, does good deeds and has faith, we shall give a good life and reward them according to the best of their actions. Surah An-Nahl, verse number 97. You know, the Holy Book of Quran promises those who have faith that they will live a good life and move into an infinitely greater existence in the afterlife. The peace that believers experience in this life is only a brief taste of the peace to come in the hereafter. Reflecting upon this fact day after day in prayer contributes to a state of calm and tranquility. The Holy Prophet said, "He has tasted the sweetness of faith who is content with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Lord, Islam as His religion, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as His Prophet." The contentment described in this hadith consists of a stability of being that protects believers from oscillating between extremes of momentary euphoria and sorrow, such that they can remain in a state of calm and tranquility regardless of what is happening in their lives. The case for God's existence in the Holy Book of Quran is straightforward, easy to comprehend, and supported by logic and sound reasoning. You know, conviction in faith is attained when the basic faculties of the heart and mind combine in reflection upon the facts of existence and the message of the prophets. Knowledge of the divine is a light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places in the hearts of people. First and foremost, and no amount of argumentations can insert His light into the hearts of those who cannot see it. Our role as believers is to be the best examples of our faith that we can possibly be, and to make the case for Islam with grace, compassion, and beautiful preachings, to offer goodwill to all, and to pray for the guidance of those who need it. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that our time for this episode of Lantern has come to its end. Today we talked about some justifications to prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the unbelievers, and I hope that you have enjoyed this episode and made some implementations out of it, in fact. And until another episode, I bid you farewell and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
ألا بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب
Palestinian journalist and media facilities Freedom of media in the Palestinian territories is still closely related and influenced by the Israeli occupation and settlers. And there continuous violations against Palestinian journalists and media institutions. Being a journalist, regardless of nationality, is a job that is full of dangers and obstacles. It is also the job of truth seekers. The Palestinian journalist is destined to live within the walls of these violations. But despite these hard conditions, he or she still has determination, boldness, persistence, and strength.
The reality is that Palestinian journalists have a double suffering. On one hand, they are part of the Palestinian people who are subject to crimes and violations that qualify to genocide and war crimes. On the other hand, they have a dangerous job, especially in this hard environment under which Palestinians live because of the occupation. The Gaza Strip is besieged, while in the West Bank there is the apartheid wall, settlements, Judaization of Jerusalem, frequent violations and arrests. This affects the entire Palestinian society, and especially the journalists, as the occupation wants to black out the truth and their violations of human rights, as well as the state terrorism it practices. The Israeli occupation practiced all sorts of humiliation and subjugation methods on journalists. But along the years, the Palestinian journalist refused becoming a tool in the hands of the occupation and Israeli intelligence. And this made journalists sacrifice a lot. The Palestinian journalist plays a role as significant as that of the Palestinian politician or the fighter. To each his role. We have always seen the Palestinian journalist in the field. He would use his cameras and other tools to perform heroic and honorable achievements. He would always document and publicize the suffering of the Palestinian people, especially in the besieged Gaza Strip. He would always show the world the suffering, the incursions, the killing and torture Palestinians suffer on the hands of the Israeli occupation.
This boldness made the Israeli occupation army not differentiate between a journalist and another. So everyone is targeted and everyone is wanted.
Regardless of their nationality, journalists pursue finding the truth, removing injustice, and unveiling crimes of the occupation, no matter who that occupation may be. We have seen examples for that where reporters for networks in the United States and Europe expose crimes committed by the U.S. and other countries. An exception to this is the few journalists who are affiliated with their government, no matter who that government may be. Such journalists have a questionable credibility and are renounced in their communities. Journalists who come to Palestine are our colleagues and friends. We have to help them, and the Israeli occupation has to respect their freedom of movement and work, like it respects our freedom. But unfortunately, the Israeli occupation, as you know, does not respect any kind of freedom, and it continues its violations against these journalists. The Israeli occupation does not differentiate between a Palestinian and a non-Palestinian journalist. The non-Palestinian journalist tries to document the events as they are, so the Israeli occupation relentlessly targets them and any other journalist who tries to document events on the ground without discrimination. The Palestinian journalist works in an area rich with events. There are incursions and airstrikes all the time. And as a journalist tries to cover these crimes, he will be a target to the Israeli occupation. The Israeli occupation does not want the journalist to succeed in covering these violations, because any footage that comes out of the Gaza Strip exposes the Israeli occupation's army. That is why, in the beginning of any incursion, they fire and attack journalists to get them away from the action zone so they cannot document these incursions or any targeting of civilians. Therefore, if they injure the journalist, he would be taken to the hospital and there will be no one to document the events, so the occupation army can do whatever they want. If journalists were there, this means there were witnesses on the crime. There are no witnesses on the crime as long as there are no journalists. Palestinian journalists have been subject to a variety of violations that reach the killing in cold blood. Other violations include arrest and detention for extended periods, especially the administrative detention with no accusation, as well as confiscation of their media coverage badges, especially in the West Bank. Journalists face continuous violations similar to the case during their coverage of the war on Gaza or the usual occupation's incursions to the Palestinian areas. Many of them were injured while covering the events, and some of these injured journalists lost their ability to perform their job.
Assassination of journalists in general is part of the repulsive occupation, because Palestinian journalists actually like the job, which unveils the ugly face of the occupation, and have determination and persistence. The Israeli occupation just assassinates them. They kill them to kill the truth. This is how the occupation envisions killing and assassinating them.
During the attack on Jabalia, there was an incursion in Azbat Abu Rabbo right behind us. We were covering the incursion on the first and second day. It seems that the Israeli occupation army did not like our movement in the area, so they fired at us multiple times. But we continued documenting this crime. I was standing right here when the tanks advanced a little further. They saw me, and right away one of the tanks fired a shell directly towards me. After I was taken to the hospital, I was surprised that the shell also hit other people and they were killed. When I woke up and became conscious, I realized that my best friend and the rest of the team were also injured. After that, we went back to the field and continued working. These violations and targeting of journalists are not going to stop us from doing our work. By the way, this building we are in right now was hit and targeted by the Israeli occupation during the war on the Gaza Strip. Other colleagues were on the roof of this building and were targeted as well while covering the events. However, none of us, the journalists, our colleagues who were targeted, their families, or even the Palestinian Authority took judicial action. So there is weakness or failure in this side. We have to encourage families of victims, civil society organizations, the journalist syndicate, and the Palestinian Authority to take judiciary action against the Israeli occupation's war criminals. These Israeli war criminals should not remain unpunished. We can generally say that these violations frequently committed by the Israeli occupation against Palestinian journalists are evidence that it tries to cover the truth and isolate Palestine from its surrounding. The occupation isolated the Gaza Strip through the siege and isolates the West Bank from time to time. Despite all these hardships, Palestinian journalists played their role in delivering the message and suffering of Palestinian people, as well as documenting the violations that exposed the Israeli occupation. Therefore, the camera was able to expose the organized terrorism, war crimes, and crimes against humanity committed by the Israeli occupation. Claims were filed on the issue of targeting journalists, especially those from Al-Aqsa Association, but procrastination has always prevailed in these cases. There were also claims by local and international organizations, but these also were put aside, especially the ones regarding Al-Aqsa Association. The justification given most of the time, among others, was that a counterclaim of the one presented is filed. This is evidence that there are restrictions on journalists and their claims, especially those from Al-Aqsa Association. The Israeli occupation is a renegade state practicing state terrorism according to the international humanitarian law. However, the balance of powers with the